It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right, thanks for coming. I looked at the records, and you're going to be amazed because I don't know how we missed this, but we haven't recorded this year at all, this entire year.
Nope, not the entire year.
So I don't know how that happened, but here we are. Peter's done. Yep. So now we got to record again. So I get really annoyed. Just full stop. That's the end.
Wait, is this grinding your gears again? Is this a segment?
No. But a thing that does bug me is everybody always wants to think that, I mean, everybody always wants to think they're special, which is fine. But everybody always wants to think they're special, like, physiologically. Everybody always wants to be the one where, like, oh, that doesn't really affect me, or oh, that, like, you know, and or oh, I can drink more, like I have a higher tolerance to this, or I have a weaker tolerance to this, or this common over the counter medication just doesn't work for me. And sometimes it's true, but some people I'm just like, wow, so your body just like rejects everything that everybody else's body does. But then I have my own weird things. So I'm assuming in your life you've had a pang of hunger.
Sure.
It's not common. We're white Americans. You don't get that hungry. But it does happen. If you don't eat long enough, your tummy is empty. To me, it always feels a little bit like the tummy sort of trying to clench in on itself. And it hurts. It's not excruciating, but it hurts. It's a hunger pang. There's pain involved.
Okay.
That's fine. And I don't get it very often because my stomach is not empty very often. But sometimes, I have no idea when, but sometimes, instead of a hunger pang, but in that very similar situation, instead, I get a very sudden, very acute bout of intense nausea. That lasts for like 2 or 3 minutes, and like I'm producing so much saliva, and it just feels, and it's not, I mean, there's nothing in my stomach, so I don't really feel like I'm gonna throw up, and I don't. But it's real uncomfortable and it's real weird, and I have yet to run into anyone else that's experienced. I'm assuming you've not experienced that.
No.
It's always weird to learn this stuff. Like the whole thing with the yawning, remember the yawning thing we talked about? And I can't hear when I yawn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I had no idea. It's really funny, the things that you're like, that's just normal, right? And then everybody's like, mm.
Mm-hmm.
So, hello, everyone. Welcome, Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world. Definitely had something. You can still see the fan moving a little bit. The only podcast in the world. Here we are, Peter Stonitz. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 721.
And if you're like, that was a terrible opening, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's good. How long has it been
for us? It's been Christmas. A couple weeks. I mean, we haven't recorded an episode yet this year, but we have posted one. So
yeah. I mean, it's all going out week after week. For you and me, how long has it been?
Two,
and sometime pre-Christmas.
Yeah,
post Thanksgiving,
I guess. 3 weeks. or almost
a long ass time.
Almost, yeah. Yeah, it has been a long time.
So how's your 3 weeks been? Most of that, you haven't had to work.
Correct. Actually, only one day have I had to work. I mean, today's a work day. I've got stuff to do today. But yeah, yesterday was my first day back to work.
Today was the first day I took Trish back into the office. She worked from home yesterday. Often if she's on vacation for a while, she'll work the Monday because it's a nice transitional. She's at work but still at home. So it's a nice stepping stone to getting back to work.
Yeah, for me, like yesterday I went into the office and that was, to me, that was nice. It's like, oh, I haven't been here for a long time. This is actually kind of fun to be here. But yeah, I probably won't be going in today because I won't need to. But so yeah, most of the last 2 weeks has been, I mean, you know, there was, the last time we recorded, it was before Christmas, right?
Yeah.
There's Christmas and New Year's. So all the Christmas stuff was, you know, great, obviously. We didn't do a whole lot for New Year's, but that's okay. Abby finished her first playthrough of Dragon Age. I don't know if there's going to be another one.
Yeah.
Because you can platinum on it in one game. Which didn't used to be true. You used to have to...
That is very uncommon in a video game.
Yeah, well, but in the past... That it was fine because she wanted to, you know, she wanted to try different classes. She wanted to try different, you know, she wanted to play a Canary or whatever it was. This time, this game's okay, but it's not quite up to the previous games. And like, I believe
what I have heard say is it is a very good fantasy RPG. It is not necessarily a very good Dragon Age game.
I mean, yes, that's probably a good summation. I mean, it feels like Dragon Age when you're playing it, you know, all the same stuff's going on, but it, it feels like it's made by a different group of people, basically.
Yeah.
Some people even said it's a little bit of a soft reboot, we think. And it does sort of have that feel where you're like, are they setting up an MMO or something? The way they're doing this and the way they're doing that.
Or live service or who knows.
Yeah. So it's like, not sorry we played it or saw it or anything else, because I mean it's just Dragon Age, it's fun, but it wasn't quite up to what the other games were. And one sign of that among many is you finish it and you're not immediately going, all right, let's go be a mage this time, or let's go be an elf this time.
Yeah,
not really
that's not a thing I tend to do anymore. I'm really hoping it's going to happen with Baldur's Gate 3, because it is so big and there are so many options.
That's true.
There's just too many situations where I'm like, I want to do this, but I also want to do this. Or I did this, like, sometimes I fail at things. And so, like, I'd be curious to know what happens if I succeeded. Admittedly, I have cheated. I have reloaded when I'm like, okay, this has gone down a path I did not enjoy.
We didn't watch any movies, I don't think.
Really? That's all I did.
Well, I mean, and there are ones that are available that we intend to watch, but we didn't really watch any. I
watched a ton of movies to the degree that I would say maybe half or more were so dumb that I'm not even going to mention them. And I still have 8 movies to talk about.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I watched a lot of movies.
We had a snow that was substantial enough to shovel. So
I had to shovel.
Which I like. I know you don't, but I like it.
I mean, literally no one likes it except you.
What else?
That's like my body doing the hunger pang nausea thing.
I mostly try not to do anything, which I succeeded at, I think. Pretty well. So I don't really have a lot to talk about.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I sat in this new lovely chair.
Beautiful chair.
I am currently using both, not literally at this moment, but I have saved something into both its memory functions.
Oh.
And I am frequently adjusting it. It is funny because I can't do anything quickly. So like, oh, there's a knock at the door. All right, I'll go. And now I can stand up. Or, hey, baby, let's sit down and watch that movie. Okay, give me 1 second. Wait, you can turn on the TV if you want. But... Okay.
You like, can turn on the TV. Like,
it really throws off sometimes my mental momentum.
Yeah.
When I have to just wait. And it has a noise. I don't know if you can hear it on the bucket. Just the, it's very quiet, but it's very much there. Just like I do keep picturing somebody in a wheelchair on a stairlift every time I hit a button on this thing. Cause it sounds like a stairlift. Like it's really, this is my old man era without a doubt, but
yeah. No, but yeah, so you know, spent a lot of time with family. And that was always, you know, it's always nice for me. And
any good Christmas presents?
Oh, Christmas presents.
Yeah, we've heard of them.
I got a really nice long coat, you know, because when I work, I wear like a suit jacket and a bolo tie and all this stuff. I didn't really have a nice coat to, like, all my coats are not nice like that. But I needed one. I didn't think I did, but. At some time in December, there were some pretty cold days, and I went into the office with just my suit jacket on, thinking this will be fine. And it kind of was getting out of my car and going into the office, right? But when I was in there for several hours, and I come out, and the car's cold and everything's cold. It's like, nah, I'm
so
not going to
moving
anything.
Fast. Yeah.
So I said, I told Abby about that, and so she, for Christmas, got me a really nice coat that I wore for the first time in the office yesterday. That was nice. Seeing some a few other things. I got a game, and I got some of this stuff. Sometimes when Abby and I get things for each other for Christmas, well, it's kind of like what you were talking about. We get things for each other all the time, and sometimes when Christmas comes along, it's things aren't timed so that we're giving it to each other for Christmas, if you know what I mean. but sometimes it is, and so that becomes our Christmas gifts, you know. But sometimes what that also means is that we kind of already know it's coming. Oh, that's the thing I got you. You know, we can wrap it or you can just open it now, kind of thing. So some of the stuff wasn't like opened for Christmas, but yeah, I think that's most of the stuff. Oh, I got a scarf too to go with my coat, but it was Dad's scarf. Dad had this scarf. A really nice one that he would wear to church, and you know, his, you know, wife had it, and when we got together for Christmas, she, I don't know how it came up that anyone knew that I needed one or would need one, but she said, you know, this
she offered it to all the other kids first. They all turned it down.
But so yeah, I got Dad's scarf, and it's gray and black, and the coat's black, so it goes with it.
This is gonna sound silly, but I really love inherited scarves. It doesn't come up that often, but I think a scarf is a good hand-me-down.
Well, yeah, I mean, when my grandfather died when I was 16, he died of colon cancer. He had this flannel jacket that I somehow got, and I wore it to school, college. And I mean, I wore it until it was threadbare. I mean, it looked really pretty bad before I stopped wearing it. So, I mean, I've inherited articles of clothing or whatever before. This is the only thing. Well, and a hat. Dad had a hat that nobody else wanted. I'm not sure I'll wear. I mean,
love hats.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know if or when.
My current working theory is that your fontanelle never solidified. Up here, you still have the soft spot. Your skull never.
Anyway,
really like that.
I did bring the hat home, but I don't know. You know, I've got a lot of hats I don't wear, so this is just going to be one in the collection. But the scarf I definitely am going to use. You know, so I'm grateful to have it. Yeah. So, But I mean, we don't really exchange gifts in my family, as you know. So I kind of pretty much have to sort of accidentally get them from Abby, and she accidentally got some from me. So that was also kind of nice because the kids come over and we get stuff for them and we get stuff for the grandkids. So it's like, well, yeah, let's wrap this up and put it on the tree so we have some, you know, to open. And
yeah.
So with that happens sometimes, but yeah, that's pretty much all that was went on. But it was a good 2 weeks. How about you? How, you know, besides the movies, what went on with you? What did you get? You usually have a pretty good haul.
I am very hard to shop for these days. I'm getting a lot more cash and gift cards, which is fine. I understand. I also keep suggesting to people charitable donations, and sometimes they do that, and I really do like that because I have enough money to buy the shit I want to buy. So
yeah.
But and sometimes when I get money, I donate it myself. So a lot of that I do say this is a thing I've been holding off on. So do you see here this picture frame?
Yes.
All right. That is an Aura frame. And those of you who listen to podcasts frequently will know about these. I assume by the absolute lack of intelligence in your eyes that you have not heard of these.
I thought I always had a lack of intelligence in my eyes.
That could be it as well. But
no, I haven't heard of them. Though.
Are an online thing right now that's really big. And what it is it's digital for it.
Mm.
So there's an app and you upload pictures to it.
Mm.
And you can upload to other, it gets on the Wi-Fi. And so if you are invited to somebody's frame, you can upload pictures to their frame and they will appear and they just sort of slideshow. Although you can change it yourself or you can put in a picture and say, show it right now and things like that. And this is handy for people. It is often put forth as you have loved ones far away who want to be kept up on your business and maybe aren't as technologically savvy as some. Well, you give them this and then pictures appear on it and it's pictures of their family and stuff. And they like that.
Hmm.
And I never gave a shit. You also don't look like you give a shit, which I get. No, because you and I both. Not very sentimental, very picture focused.
I'm not, but my wife is. So actually I'm very interested in it.
Well, so I had thought about it for my mother. And I talked to my sister about it, and she was like, I don't know. As technologically uncomplicated as it is, it still might be too much for her. And also my sister, who's really bad at technology, she's like, so I don't know that I could help her set it up. So I don't know. But her father has one, and they apparently really like it. Anyway, all this aside, my youngest sister-in-law, Stephanie, sends us our Christmas gift weeks ahead of time, and it's this frame. And she also sends it to every other child in the family. And what she says is this. Mom and Dad are getting one of these at Christmas. So we have between now and Christmas to figure out how the fuck they work and to get a bunch of pictures put on Mom and Dad's.
Mm.
Because you can do it. They have a thing you can scan on the box that will do – you can set up the frame and add pictures to it without ever opening the box.
Huh.
So you can literally hand it to them, and other than having to connect it to the Wi-Fi, it's done.
Huh.
So anyway, I'm like, oh, this is cool, not because I give a shit and not because Trish gives a shit, but because I was thinking about this for my family, and now I will know exactly how complicated it is. And now I can see for my – so great. Cool. And we put stuff on it, and I got invited to everybody else's ones, and so I sent them pictures. I specifically sent everyone a picture of me after the Brazilian steakhouse last year when I looked like I was going to die. I also sent some of them a picture of a taxidermied squirrel named Paninus sitting in a purple plastic barber chair, things like this. I didn't put in a lot of pictures, but other people did. So we have to – well, here's the thing. I fucking love it. Like, I'm just will sit here and every once in a while I will just look over and I'll be like, oh, look, it's my niece or nephew or cat or family or is it cool? Oh, remember that time? Or ones where I'm like, that's a little kid. Which little kid was that? Like, they're clearly older now. I wonder who that was. Or I'll go to Trish and be like, why is there a picture of such and such on? She's like, oh, that's so-and-so. We put, but it's just fun. Just all the time, I'm just like, oh, and I'll look over and it's, oh, it's good.
Nice.
So, or friends, I recommend them. And I'm getting them for my family. I'm probably going to do the same thing. Well, I get it for my brother and my sister and then have them figured out, and then we'll get one for mom. But don't tell them because they won't listen. So, but yeah. So that was cool. Also, my other sister-in-law and her family got me, among other things, they got me some Tony's Chocolonely. We've talked about Tony's Chocolonely.
It
is a brand of chocolate called Tony's Chocolonely, or depending on how you look at it, it might look like it says Tony's Chocolonely, but it just is Chocolonely. It's 3 or 4 years now. It's this brand of chocolate, and they're these bars, and they're really good chocolate. And they're clearly meant to be eaten alone, because even though they're a big-ass bar, they have like lines and stuff so you can break it into pieces, but they are completely irregular.
Oh.
So it's clearly not meant to be shared. And it's really tasty. And actually, they sell it at the grocery store and everything. They actually started selling smaller bars, which I like. But I was originally introduced to it via my sister-in-law and her family. And so it's kind of a thing. So they gave me a couple bars, including one. Any of you out there who know this stuff, we're getting out of the holiday season, but if you can find some of the limited edition milk chocolate with gingerbread, it's the best thing in the world. It's really good. Like, I expected it to be tasty. It's real tasty. But they got me a couple of those, and they got me something that will probably become a part of our podcast now, but I'm going to wait till the end of the podcast to show it off.
Okay.
But it may now be how we close every episode, or at least the next 52. Let's see. All right. So you haven't been watching nothing. Movies, TV, nothing.
Oh, TV, yeah. I mean, but a lot of things kind of had a break during that same 2 weeks. Although Silo, we've been watching Silo, and it was still producing episodes. I don't know if Dune finished or if...
Oh, Dune Prophecy or whatever?
Yeah, or they just had a break.
Yeah.
Let's see. And, you know, we watched... Sometimes we still watch Paranormal on camera and stuff like that. But
yeah.
The video game, you know, the Dragon Age video game, we got kind of right before this break. So that took up quite a bit of time. Not a lot, though. It's not a long game, and not compared to some games. But that took up a lot of time. Abby started putting some of my songs out on YouTube and stuff. She's been trying to make like lyric videos and stuff. So she's been doing that a lot. So
link me that shit.
Okay.
What the hell?
She I just started
learning about this when the dirty, unwashed masses learned about it.
I kind of forgot about it. It's kind of her own little project she's been doing. She enjoys
spread the word about pilot fish.
Yeah. But so we haven't really been watching anything. Mm-mm.
We finished up Bad Monkey, which was the Vince Vaughn in Florida trying to solve a murder thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it by the end. And supposedly it's getting a second season, and I'm quite excited for it. Okay. It is another one of those that, like, you start off and you're like, oh, it's Vince Vaughn tries to solve a murder. But very quickly, it's a very much an ensemble story. Oh, he's good. The main character. And it's just, you know how like when two actors have just great chemistry and you're like, I don't care what they're doing, I'll just watch them. There's like four or five sets of those in this show. Like these two characters and these two characters, like, and similar. And in fact, there's one. In the pilot, you sort of ostensibly get the sense that there are two main characters. It's Vince Vaughn's character and this guy named Neville. And at the beginning, they don't know each other, and they do eventually. In the series, they don't spend a lot of time together, but in the last couple episodes, they do, and their chemistry was amazing. I was like, this should have been the whole season. These guys are incredible together. They have such a great back and forth in such a way. But these are based off of detective novels, and there are more novels. So we're hoping this is sort of a jumping off point for that. And apparently it has been confirmed to get a second season. But yeah, I would recommend it to people. It's a fun time. It's a goofy time. It's very Vince Vaughn heavy. If you hate Vince Vaughn, it might not be great. But if you're like me and are like, it's good. And and yeah, eventually all the characters come out, and that's really nice. Similarly, we are currently watching the first and at this point only season of A Man on the Inside. This is a sitcom on Netflix, created by Mike Schur, who did Good Place, Office, Parks and Rec, that kind of stuff. And it stars Ted Danson as a widower who doesn't really have much going on, and then he basically gets involved where he goes undercover at a nursing home to try and find a thief. This private investigator basically hires him for this. And then hijinks ensue. And it's really sweet. And it's another one of those where, like, as it goes on, it's very much an ensemble show. And you start to care more about the other people and all that. So that's been fun. I like that. It's not... At this point, it's not The Good Place. I mean, it's not... I occasionally get sad because I want it to be better, but it's very good, and I enjoyed it. And if they do more seasons, I will watch more of it. It's a good time. It has Sally Struthers in it, which I haven't seen Sally Struthers act in years. It was crazy, but she's good. Also, what's really fun for me is there's an actor on it who I don't know very well, but she was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the sitcom. Which I didn't, I watched maybe one or two episodes in passing at some point, but she was a character who was like a badass, and that was her whole thing, is she was very unapproachable, but, you know, deep down had a heart of gold, but, like, you know, that was her whole shtick. Okay. And she was this really, she wore a leather jacket, and she was very intimidating. That actor is in this as the manager of the nursing home and is just the sweetest, nicest thing ever, and she's doing a great job at it. And it's just so weird to me. I'm like, aren't you? And for a minute, I wasn't even sure. Like, her styling's very different. I was like, is that her? And I looked it up. Is her? But yeah, so that's fun. We're also currently watching The Devil's Hour, which is on Prime and is, I think, a BBC show. It's annoying.
Oh.
Well, here's why it's annoying. It looks really cool. Peter Capaldi is like a Hannibal Lecter kind of character, except he's maybe nice, but he's trying to help this lady who's having weird things where, like, her son sees things that aren't there, and sometimes she remembers things she shouldn't be able to remember.
I think we tried to watch that, but we got sidetracked and didn't finish it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you did. Because here's what's happened. It's a 6-episode first season. We have watched half of it. Still don't know what's going on. Like, and I'm getting tired of waiting.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's just more mysteries from people that I don't care about.
Yeah.
It needs more Peter Capaldi. The times when Capaldi is on the screen are the interest. It's not just because he's amazing. He is. But the times where he's on the screen, I'm like, oh, this is getting at the real thing. What is going on? And he has been on the screen maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
In the first 3 episodes. So we're going to finish the first season, but unless something big happens very next episode, I'm writing this shit off. It's not very. It's
maybe that's what happened.
We just it's JJ is very JJ Abrams is mystery box. Like, we're halfway through the season and nothing is clear, but just we keep throwing. Oh, what about this? Oh, this is weird. Oh, this is mysterious. I'm like, yeah. Start telling us something. Why do I care?
Yeah, right. Why do I care?
So I'm not super happy with that one, but we'll see. Cool shit though. Severance second season is coming back soon.
Yeah, we're thinking of like watching the first one again and right before.
Yeah, we might. We might. It is 9 hours, but we might. Trish has talked about that. Season 2 of Dungeons and Drag Queens starts in like 2 days on Dropout. I'm excited for that. That was a real fun time. It's this thing. Trish talks about this when she watched. There's a Netflix show called Is It Cake?
Yeah, Abby watches that, yeah.
Yeah, Trish and her sister watch it often when they have their weekly watch something and text together. And Mikey Day, comedian Mikey Day, is the host on that. Uh-huh. And she talks about how she really loves watching over time. He clearly knew nothing about baking when he started, and he's like learned over time. And so they did the trailer for Dungeons and Drag Queens, and that was just four drag queens in a D&D game run by Brennan Lee Mulligan. And the first time, like, three of the four had never played any role-playing game. And then we saw the trailer for this season. It's lots of clips from What Happens or whatever. And they know how to play D&D now. And it's just so cute. I'm like, oh, they learned. They're making jokes that, like, you wouldn't get if you weren't a good D&D player. They know what to roll. They don't have to be told. Like, I'm just like, oh, it's so sweet. So, yeah. So there's going to be some good stuff coming up. But, all right. Let's tackle some of these fucking movies. I don't know that we'll get through. By the way, we have some emails now, but we're not getting through them today because we haven't talked in like 3 weeks, and you know that's not how anything this works. All right. I really need to figure out. All right. Some of these I can probably talk about less than others of these. Saw a couple of classics. Saw Speed.
Oh,
which yeah. I do not believe I had seen before. Mm. And Gladiator. Gladiator 1.
Mm.
The original Gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
Both classics that I had not seen before. Trish thinks she might want to see Gladiator 2, and I was like, oh, I want to see Gladiator 1. Then she's like, I don't think the stories are really related. And I was like, I don't care. This is me. I see one before I see two. That's how it is. So we watched it. Speed's fine. Speed's kind of fun. It's kind of shocking how bad a cop Keanu Reeves' character is. But it's also one of those movies who doesn't understand how police work at all. Like, Keanu Reeves and Jeff Daniels are crack team members of the SWAT team / bomb squad? Because they do both in the movie. And that doesn't seem right. And yeah, it's just weird. But it is fun. We need to talk about Gladiator.
Okay.
Have you seen Gladiator?
I have.
All right. So, I'm like, yeah, check this out. And Trisha's like, I don't know if you're going to like it. And I was like, why not? She's like, it's kind of like Dracula Untold. And I was like, what? The shitty early attempt to start the Dark Universe that nobody remembers because they had to do it again several years later with that Tom Cruise mummy thing that also failed. That stupid movie we watched at New Year's 1 year and I was drunk out of my mind because it's really dumb, but like funny dumb. You think Oscar-winning film Gladiator by Ridley Scott is like that? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, I don't think so. It won Oscars. So we watched it. It's not that good.
No, I didn't really like it.
I mean, it's not bad. It's not a bad film. It is not a bad film. And it is quite the spectacle. From a production standpoint, it is impressive what they did. It's not a particularly compelling story. There's not a lot. It's fine. What else was nominated that
year? Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes.
It's not bad. I definitely enjoyed watching it. But if you ask me, so did this win any Academy Awards? I'd be like.
I mean.
Was it up against Ernest Goes to Camp? I mean, what the fuck?
Well, as you observed, it was a very well-crafted film in all the technical aspects. It reminded me, when I saw it, I also didn't care for it much, but I understood the hype to be very similar to many, many years earlier with Dances with Wolves. Not a good movie, in my opinion, at all. But did it look pretty? Did it have a lot of was it clearly difficult and challenging to make? Did they clearly have skilled artisans doing various aspects of the filmmaking? Yeah, of course they did. So it was a little bit like, it felt like that when I watched it and everyone was excited about it. I thought, I can't believe that. I think people are kind of, well, here's another example, in my opinion, is Cameron's Avatar movie, the original Avatar movie. Yeah. Not that great a film when you, as far as the storytelling and all that, but it's like, it was technically a good accomplishment. So there it is.
Because of the two specific movies you picked as examples, I should specify for anybody who hasn't seen it, Gladiator is not a white savior myth.
No.
Which goes a long way to why Avatar and Dances with Wolves have not held up.
Yeah. Well, here, another example.
And I have not seen and will never see Dances with Wolves. Because my mother was so obsessed with it that it made me hate it without ever having seen it. And now I just can't make myself do it.
Star Wars is another example. Not a good movie in so many ways, but it blew people away with its technical whatever. So there's lots of examples of movies that are like, this isn't very good, but people love it because it, like you said, a spectacle. That's what it comes down to.
And again, I'm starting to think I like Gladiator better than you. I don't think it's a bad movie. I just don't think it should have Oscar buzz, let alone have one Best Picture. But it's fine. I mean, it is a movie. All right. Let's see. We don't really need to. I saw a movie called The Wretched. It's a pretty good horror movie about a shape-shifting witch that lives next door. And so you get into this weird thing where our protagonist doesn't know who to trust because the witch can shape-shift and things. It is most notable for being a pretty decent horror movie on a budget of like $66,000. So that was neat, but it's fine. Whatever. It doesn't really matter. That's not the important things. All right. Let's talk about The Running Man.
The Running Man.
Yes. We are kind of beginning to delve into early or height of his popularity, Schwarzenegger canon lately.
Okay.
We actually recently watched End of Days, which was not especially good. But we also watched The Running Man, which is a sci-fi movie in which set in the distant future of 2017, the number one game show in the world is a reality game show where criminals on death row have to fight for their freedom against hunters. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is convicted of a crime he probably didn't commit. I honestly don't remember anymore. and it's a fun time. It's a fun, stupid action movie. But what's really impressive to me is the host of the game show, who is also the main villain, obviously, Richard Dawson.
Yeah, right.
Probably best known as the original, or at least the most famous host of Family Feud before Steve Harvey made it his deal. And I had not thought it through, but of course he was nobody starts out as a game show host. Always, with the possible exception of Bob Barker, you almost always are an actor first. And sure enough, he acted before, because I was really impressed.
He was in Hogan's Heroes. That's where I saw him first. Hogan's Heroes. Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, so that was fun. All right, now we're getting to the serious ones. All right. All right. I'm going to get the important one out of the way first, because then I'm going to talk about the two hilarious. All right. That Christmas.
Yeah, I've heard about this one. I haven't watched it.
I don't know why it's good. But it's so mundane good. I'm surprised it's getting as much buzz as it is. Mm. Here's what I will tell you about it. It's very straightforward. It is an animated film written by Richard Curtis, who apparently is just an absolute legend in the UK. He's done a lot of films. He wrote Love Actually. He wrote Notting Hill. He wrote a lot of films I don't like. But he wrote this and is animated. And it is called That Christmas. And it is mostly just about Christmas Eve in this small British town by the ocean and hijinks that ensue. It's several interconnected stories. It's just good. I technically have seen it twice and also no times. Because I have seen it two times now. I have walked in during the exact same scene, which is fairly early in the movie. And okay. So I have seen almost all of it twice. The exact same amount twice. I haven't seen the very opening, but I'm okay with this. But I might watch it again. It's good. It is various. It has a ton of British comedians and actors doing the voices that I love. But it's extremely family friendly. It's sweet. It's funny. It's just a very straightforward, right over the plate, just a nice, fun film. It's not boring. It's just nice. It's one of those movies that, like, I could totally see families making their new tradition that they watch it every year. It's just nice. I recommend it.
Okay.
It's not going to blow you away. It's not exciting. I don't know if kids like Delmer's age will be as into it.
Mm.
There's not a lot. There's not as much visually stimulating per se. It's a lot more after school, especially in that a lot of the various people have issues and they work them out over the course of the movie.
Sure.
But it's a good time. It's a good time. I recommend it. This is nice. And it's so rare to get that. I'm like, it's nice. It's not saccharine. It doesn't feel like it's pushing a weird agenda or whatever. It's just a nice movie about a little town and some crazy shit that happened at Christmas.
Cool.
It's nice. I like it. I recommend it. All right. Let's talk about the weird ones.
Let's talk about the weird ones. That sounds like a good title for the podcast.
That could be a good one. All right.
It's good.
So I have two odd movies here. Okay. And weirdly, I think they're both from the early 90s.
Wow, you've just been watching a lot of old stuff.
We're trying. We're like, we keep doing this. Like, have you seen this? No. All right, let's watch it.
Yeah.
A lot of just classic movies we haven't seen. Hmm. Trish picked both of these, but... all right, I think I'm going to start with Dead Again.
Dead Again?
Dead Again.
Wait, who's in that? Is that got, shoot. I mean, I think I've seen this.
It was well received at the time. I think it's still well received, which is funny because I think it's hilariously bad.
Oh.
But it's worth watching. It's fun. It is Kenneth Branagh's directorial debut.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson. Both sporting the most insane American accents.
Yep, I've seen
this. And co-starring Derek Jacobi.
Yeah, I've seen this.
And it's basically a thriller where Emma Thompson and how did I lose his name?
Branagh? Kenneth?
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh. Sorry, I lost the name. Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson meet and are kind of falling in love, except then we learn that they are the reincarnations of another couple, and one of them may have murdered the other, and maybe that's going to happen again in this incarnation.
Yeah.
But not everything is as it appears. And it's that thing that the 90s had, and even the 2000s, where they're like, this is serious, right? This isn't, and we're like, no, this is goofy. Like the 90s and the 2000s just had so many, like, how are you doing this straight faced? Because this premise is just so off the wall that I'm like, why would you do that and make it serious?
Why
That's
would you
the
do
thing.
That?
It's not a bad movie, except that it wants you to take it seriously. And I'm like, no. So that's a weird one. That was fun. But we watched Made in America.
I think I've seen this too.
I don't know why you saw this.
You're going to have to give me more information about it so I know for sure, but I think I have seen it.
Weirdly, it was apparently well-received at the time, which is incredibly strange. So, in 1988, Ted Danson and Whoopi Goldberg started dating. And this seemed odd, but they did. And then in 1992... they made a movie together called Made in America.
Maybe I haven't seen this.
And then sometime after that, Ted Danson went on some sort of celebrity roast in blackface and got in real trouble for a while. And it turns out it's because Whoopi told him to do it because she thought it'd be hilarious.
Yeah. I remember that.
So before that, but after they got together, they made this movie that stars Whoopi Goldberg and Ted Danson, and also features a fairly young Nia Long and Will Smith in his, like, second film role just before Six Degrees of Separation. So this isn't Will Smith the actor. This is we hired the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air
right
for this movie.
Right.
The premise is Whoopi Goldberg's daughter, her dad was Whoopi Goldberg's husband, and he's long dead. And then some experiment in science class or whatever, she discovers her blood type is such that guy can't be her father. And this is when we find out that Whoopi Goldberg actually used a sperm donor.
Oh.
And that's the father. And then Nia Long's character does some hijinks with the help of Will Smith, who's sort of just her best friend, and he clearly wants to be more than that, but she's not into it, which real fun. But anyway, so she finds out who the actual father was, and it's fucking Ted Danson, who is a cowboy-themed used car salesman.
Okay.
And she goes and looks him up, and then it's just, that's it. It's sort of a family comedy drama. It's a little bit of a rom-com. It's real dumb. Like, it's real dumb. Yeah. I have tremendous respect for Whoopi Goldberg. I have tremendous respect for Ted Danson. What? Why? It's funny. Like, not in the way it means to be. But it's funny. It's just so bizarre and so very much like early 90s is the only time you could make this movie.
Oh.
If you went earlier, you wouldn't care about the message enough to do it. And if you went later, you'd be like, oh, no, we can't touch this with a 10-foot pole. It's a weird movie. I feel like I was going to say all these things about it, and I don't know what to say. It's just weird. Not good. It's weird. I'm really getting into Whoopi Goldberg's lesser-known oeuvre. Like, My big thing right now is I really want to see Theodore Rex. You know Theodore Rex?
No.
Theodore Rex is a sci-fi movie set in the near future in an alternate world where there's also dinosaurs around. They kind of look like dinosaurs from the sitcom Dinosaurs, but like they live amongst humans.
Okay.
And Whoopi Goldberg is a cop who is non-consensually partnered up with a new dinosaur to be her partner, and then they solve a crime, I assume.
Wow.
Here's why this movie is so interesting.
You haven't already hit that?
No.
Okay, why is it so interesting besides the dinosaurs? Because
they had to sue Whoopi Goldberg to make it.
Sue her? Why?
Yes. Because she agreed to make it. And then I don't remember. It was a combination of it wasn't coming together and they didn't have the money and it was just looking dumber and dumber. And time passed. And she's like, I'm out. This is stupid. But they sued her and they're like, you have to do it. You said you would. And so she did. And supposedly, like, the fact that she does not want to be doing this is just clear as day every minute of the movie. And by the way, apparently it's not a good movie. But, like, she had to get sued to do it. And I'm like, well, I have to fucking see that. I have to see the movie that people sued Whoopi Goldberg to make. So.
Check that out.
All right. Shall we discuss what could be our new finale all the time now? I can't believe I got through all those movies, but I didn't have as much to say about some of them. All right. Now, in addition to Super Tasty Chocolate, my in-laws got me the Heroes Journal Side Quest Deck.
Oh.
I was not familiar with this. My brother-in-law warned me it was very difficult to open. He was not wrong. I'll read you the back. It says, "Greetings, hero. Inside this box, there are 52 side quests which call for the help of a hero like yourself. Any side quest is a worthwhile task and is sure to make you feel accomplished and grateful." So there's sort of, I mean, it's on the bit of side quests and going on a hero's journey or whatever. But I, from what I can tell looking at them, it's sort of more of a mental health thing and self-care and stuff like that. So okay. I thought we can just end the episode with drawing one and then people can do that thing.
Why not?
And they're kind of themed. Some of them are fantasy themed and some of them are sci-fi themed, but they're all like a practical thing.
So
I want to shuffle them up a bit. We'll see what happens. You got this look on your face like you think it's going to be something nasty or weird or whatever. No, it's just going to be a weird.
No, I don't think
heartfelt.
I don't think that.
Method of that. You got this look on your face.
No, I
you
don't.
Forget I can see your face.
Well, you're not seeing it very good because I'm not even thinking right. Anything like that.
Do you want to draw one or shall I draw?
Why don't you? You go ahead.
All right. I'm going to do this one. There we go. All right. Side quest. Evade responsibilities and have a self-care day. There's also a little quote on here from Peppy Hare, who I believe is from the Star Fox games, that just says, "Do a barrel roll."
Do a barrel roll.
Yeah, that's a little quote at the end of this, but yeah. Evade responsibilities and have a self-care day. So all of you listening, do that. Let your children starve. Don't shovel the snow. Don't pick up your child from soccer practice. Evade responsibilities. And have a self-care day.
Evade. Now, to evade a responsibility, it can't just be, oh, I'm not going to wash the dishes, right? It kind of has to be, hey, honey, would you wash the dishes? Then you do a barrel roll and you don't wash the dishes. So it's got to be coming at you.
Barrel rolls will help in evading responsibilities.
Yeah. But it's got to be coming at you. It can't just be a thing that's sitting there waiting.
Yeah,
it can't just be a thing sitting there waiting. It's got to be something that's coming right at you, and you evade it. Yeah.
All right. Also, this isn't a side quest, but email us. TheMagicalTalkingHead@gmail.com. I forgot to tell you what this podcast is about. Whatever. Email us, TheMagicalTalkingHead@gmail.com, with whatever the crap you want, and we will read them on the air. Due to crazy things, we are actually recording it in like 3 days, so we won't have a lot else to talk about, so then we'll probably dig into some emails. In the meantime, have a lovely new year, and do a barrel roll.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.